Legislators in Massachusetts are considering how to compensate people who spend years in prison for crimes they didn't commit. With DNA testing, more convicts are able to prove their innocence. After several high-profile exonerations, pressure is building in Massachusetts to make it up to the wrongly imprisoned. NPR's Tovia Smith reports.
34-year-old Neil Miller has a lot of catching up to do.
But we gotta have the time, gotta have the time, gotta have the time. There he goes. Oh, shoot.
For 10 years, when his little brother was growing up in a world of video games, mastering his Nintendo football, while going to school, getting a job, and dating, Miller was locked up in the state's maximum security prison, trying to simply survive.
See how fast they were rushing me? They were trying to crush me. They were trying to kill me.
About 10 years ago, Neil Miller was a 23-year-old high school dropout who was working in a nursing home. He'd been in trouble before, drinking and smoking pot, and once, he says, for robbing a guy with a knife. But it was nothing like the violent rape he was accused of in 1990. A young white college student picked him out of a photo lineup and said he looked like the black guy who raped her. Miller insisted it wasn't him, but he was convicted and sentenced to 12 to 25 years. When Miller heard the guilty verdict in court, he turned back to his little brother who was watching and started to cry.
I'm dead. That's what's going through my head. I'm dead. Because I was like, damn, I mean, this is how my life is going to be for the next 25 years. Because I was saying to myself, they're never going to let me out. Never.
Miller appealed his conviction, but he knew he wasn't the only guy in prison claiming to be a victim of mistaken identity, and he wasn't surprised when he lost. But he was furious at the college student who was so sure he was the rapist, at the police who picked him up, and at the guy who really did it.
Every time I heard of a rape or read of a rape, my first thought was this could be that guy right there. And here I am sitting up in here for something he did. And I did wish that, Lord forgive me for mentioning it again, but I did wish that while I was in jail, that same guy would go to her and rape her again so that she could see that she picked the wrong person. And I even wanted the same thing to happen to the DA and the police woman, you know, because the DA made me look like a monster.
It was a label Miller would resist for 10 years. He was repeatedly denied parole because he refused to express remorse and insisted he was innocent. Last year, he finally proved it. Prompted by a TV show he'd seen years before, Miller borrowed $5,000 from his sister to get a DNA test. It came back showing that he could not have been the rapist. Miller went back to court expecting an apology. Instead, he got a curt judge who kept him in handcuffs to the last minute.
You know, and it's sad. It sucks. It hurts, too. And when you say oops to a person, man, I mean, it's a slap in the face. It's like they were saying to me in jail, you're showing no remorse for the crime you've committed. Well, in my opinion, they're showing no remorse for the innocence that was taken away from me.
And that's not all, Miller says, that was taken away.
See, here goes the picture of my daughter when she was like 4. I kept her picture with me and put it up on every wall. And when they tell me to take it down, I take it down. And once he leaves, I put it right back up. Gotta have my little girl there with me.
Miller's daughter spent most of her life believing her dad had done the unthinkable. Now, a teenager, she's having a hard time reconnecting with him. And Miller says he, too, is having a hard time adjusting. He's tormented by the idea that people, even in his family, may still think he's guilty. He's living with his sister and struggling to get a job after 10 years of not working. He's paranoid in crowds. And he's still haunted by the idea that he might once again land back in prison for something he didn't do. When a journalist came to his house recently, he was so afraid to be alone with her that he asked his girlfriend to secretly listen in by telephone so just in case he was framed, he'd have a witness. It's warped, he says, he knows, but his mind was twisted by a system that stole a third of his life and a system, in his eyes, that owes him.
I mean, I'm not trying to be money hungry or greedy, but the thing is, what is fair?
By Miller's count, considering lost wages, pain and suffering, and defamation of character, fair would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $3 million for him and his family.
And I said a quarter of that amount should go to my daughter Janelle Rediff, and half of that amount should go to my daughter's mother for her raising a child without a father and being ending up in an abusive relationship.
But Miller has little chance of recovering anything near that amount. Massachusetts, like most states, has no law to compensate the wrongly imprisoned. And in order to sue for damages, Miller would have to prove the government knowingly convicted an innocent man or violated his civil rights. Pace University law professor Adele Bernard says such claims are hard to win. Police and prosecutors have broad immunity, and in cases like Miller's, she notes, authorities were relying on eyewitness testimony they believed to be true.
Because they are honest mistakes, the tort system doesn't permit the person who's been unjustly convicted when they're released to turn around and sue. And in fact, they are a victim of the sort of misoperation of the criminal justice system. So at least as we charge ahead and we're so pleased about the success of our war on crime, there are other kinds of victims of this war on crime, and we're willing to do something to make them whole.
Only about 14 states do something, and it's often just a token. New Hampshire, for example, limits compensation to $20,000, no matter how much time was served. But with more and more cases like Neil Miller's, lawmakers around the nation are beginning to rethink the issue. Massachusetts Democratic State Representative Frank Hines has filed a bill that would give Miller $250,000 to cover his lost wages. It does not address his pain and suffering, but Hines says it's the most that Miller should expect.
One of the issues here is certainly affordability. What can government afford? But I think it's also, you know, there's no compelling outcry to make this happen. And there's not a lot of mileage in any political individual standing up and saying we ought to do something about this.
That's exactly why another state lawmaker is pushing a bill that would take all cases like Miller's out of the political realm and send them back to the courts, where judges would figure out how to compensate the wrongly imprisoned. State Representative Pat Jalen says her bill would authorize up to $500,000, making Massachusetts law one of the most generous in the nation.
I think of it like if the state takes your property, the state has an obligation to pay for it, and they pay fair market value. Why don't they owe you something if they take your life?
All right, wide receiver deepest. Rome.
Japan.
Protect me, protect me, protect me, protect me, protect me.
Oh. Neil Miller says he'll spend the rest of his life trying to recover from the injuries he suffered because of the state's mistake.
He wasn't supposed to do that. He wasn't supposed to do that.
Miller is still looking for work, and he wants to start counseling, but it may take years, he says, before he resumes a normal life.
I'm up here trying to prove to myself and prove to everybody else, you know, that this is how my life should have been. You know, this, I'm not stupid. I'm not crazy. I'm not a thug. I'm not a gangster. I'm not no hoodlum. I'm not that. You know, I'm not that. I mean, I'm not an angel either. And I was out there doing my little bit of dirt. My lawyer said, don't tell everybody that, because then everybody will look at you, you know, like, well, why should we help him? Well, I'm not looking for pity. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just looking for what's fair.
If lawmakers don't buy the moral argument, Miller says, there are practical reasons as well to help him get back on his feet. It's in society's interest, he says, to make sure that people like him don't resort to the kind of crime and violence they were wrongly accused of in the first place. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.